I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. I'm here today with Greg Tarr, a machine learning engineer and the winner of the 57th BT Young Scientist in Tech Exhibition. You can find Greg on LinkedIn and follow him on Twitter at Greg_Tarr. Greg, welcome back. It's so great to have you back on the show with us today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. So, Greg, I welcomed you back because you joined me on Cybercrime Radio recently, where you discussed your submission, detecting state-of-the-art deepfakes, which won this year's BT Young Scientist and Tech Exhibition. Our audience has really enjoyed your episode, so we wanted to have you back on to talk further about deepfakes. It's just such a big topic we're all hearing more and more about. So to start off, last time we talked quickly about the Tom Cruise TikTok deepfakes, or at Deep Tom Cruise, that we're circling about. But what else have you been seeing lately?
Yeah, so a quick search on TikTok alone shows new deepfakes of people like Harry Styles, Zach King, Charlie D'Amelio, Zach Efron, David Dobrik, Tom Holland, like so many others. But that's not really the most disturbing fact. The most disturbing fact is that the hashtag deepfake on TikTok alone, on a single platform, has been viewed 500 million times as of yesterday. We're like 500 million on a single platform. So this shows that the spread of deepfakes has already spun out of control.
Wow, that's incredible. And last time you shared how deepfakes are starting to move toward impacting the public at large, not just celebrities and world leaders, et cetera. And I saw a Washington Post article recently that was published on March 25th about how the deepfake apps exist now for iPhones and what have you. And one of these apps is called Avatarify. I hope I'm saying that right. But it allows you to use your iPhone's selfie camera to control the face of another person like a puppet. So since February, this app in particular, as of March 25th, has been downloaded more than 6 million times. I guess, are you familiar with Avatarify? Am I pronouncing that correctly? Please correct me if I'm wrong. But what are your thoughts? And what is this potentially opening us up to as a society?
Yeah, I haven't had any firsthand experience with Avatarify because it's only available for iPhones. I have an Android, but I've had a look at them. I was aware of them. I've seen examples of their deepfakes and how easy it is to create deepfakes now. I recently gave a presentation to the Joint Research Center of the European Commission on mitigating the risks posed by deepfakes. And in it, I gave a figure of 2 years until we had consumer-grade deepfakes that were indistinguishable from reality. And after seeing developments like this, I feel like I was being a little optimistic in terms of the time that we had to address this issue as the issue that it is.
Okay, interesting. And I also saw that similarly, there's also an app called MyHeritage that's a genealogy website that lets users utilize deepfake tech to bring old still photos to life. They're calling that particular type of tech deep nostalgia. This seems like perhaps a more meaningful way to use deepfake technology, but I'm curious what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, just don't get me wrong. The technology underlying deepfakes is incredibly, incredibly powerful. With that power, you can make some astonishing things, some incredible products like the one you mentioned. I mean, more examples would be the app Wombo, which basically it takes a selfie and it can turn it into a video of that person lip syncing to a music video, Synthesia. Which allows companies to create AI-generated sort of narrated content where there's an avatar in it and they're talking, and it's as easy as writing an email. You write the script, it generates a video with an avatar, all edited, all perfect. And you know, in this sort of benefit malicious sort of play we have here, you sometimes have to agree with Uncle Ben from Spider-Man with great power comes great responsibility. There is two sides of the coin here. One is where AI is being used for radical good and radical bad. And we need some way of addressing that.
And I know last time you touched upon how deep fakes work. But can you just kind of restate that for anyone who may have missed that episode between us earlier?
Yeah, so the actual method is very complex, but a short answer is you train an artificial intelligence with a vast amount of data regarding faces in general, and it gets to understand how faces work. And then after one person and overlay it onto another person's face, or just generate that face just normally. And it does it in such a way, and it's learned to both detect whether or not a particular deepfake is a deepfake or authentic media. And then there's another side of it that is able to generate, which is the generation side, and then there's a detection side, and they play off each other infinitely until you get indistinguishable deepfakes. And that's the best approach to generating AI deepfakes at the moment. And I don't see that changing for a while.
Okay, great. Thank you. And you mentioned using this type of technology for radical good and radical bad. And now that I think about it, did you read the story recently about a Pennsylvania mother here in the States? She allegedly sent deepfake photos and video of her teenage daughter's cheerleading rivals to their coaches to get them kicked off the team. Did you see that in the news?
Yeah, I have. I mean, first of all, if that is what that happened, right? It's allegedly.
Right.
I think it's despicable. I don't know how the judicial system would handle a situation like that. But situations like that is a perfect example of what I've been fearing, and what I've been talking about and warning people about. And unfortunately, it's something I'm hearing more and more commonly. I've had people with similar situations with where deepfakes are getting involved in legal cases come to me and go like, can we use your detection systems as like evidence in court? Obviously, that is not something as an 18-year-old I can do.
Right.
But this is something that is spreading rapidly as a problem.
And for anyone who doesn't know and is unfamiliar with the story, her daughter had no idea that she was doing this. She used content from these girls' social media accounts to make it look like they were participating in illegal activities as minors, drinking, smoking, what have you. So that leads me to another question, which is a large question, but to the best of your ability, is this something that parents need to be on the lookout for? And I guess, how do they do that? How do they help improve the cybersecurity posture of their family to combat this potential threat?
Right. What can be done about it as a parent? That's a question I get a lot. It's a very good question, but an incredibly hard one to answer. The fourth component of my presentation to the Joint Research Center was simply titled Education. And the message that I want to convey is this: let your kids on the internet, which is a dangerous thing, but not without teaching them and showing them the risks, the ways of mitigating them, and how to be responsible online. We need to draw a fine line between what it means to be a public figure and a private individual. If you're posting vlogs on YouTube or dance videos on TikTok or even selfies on Instagram, and you haven't set your profile to private and you haven't looked through who can see that, you are a public figure, whether you like it or not. You're taking the risks of exposing yourself to the public, and there are risks associated with your identity being public. Now, if you've got 3 followers, the risks are negligible, but they're still there, and people can still, if they're looking for you, they can find that and they can exploit that. So I would never instruct parents to take their kids off the internet. That would be much more harmful than just being letting them roam free, because the internet is just such a great place to share things and learn. It's the greatest source of information mankind has to offer. So being responsible online is what we should be teaching parents to teach their kids.
Great, thank you. And another hot topic that we touched upon the last time we spoke was disinformation. So I'm curious, I was reading quickly, but I'm sure you know much more about this than I do. But if you do, you know anything about generative adversarial networks or GAN? They use deepfakes to post as independent news outlets and investigative journalists.
Yeah, so I've worked with GANs in the past quite a lot, but not regarding news outlets or journalism.
Okay.
I can certainly see how they can be applied both productivity, both in a good way, productively, or and of course maliciously. And that seems to be a common theme in the space. There's, you know, the double-sided coin, right? So yeah.
So how do they, I guess, how do they work exactly? Are they organized? Are there like teams of people? Like, I guess like a 101 would be helpful.
So an individual can now cause a ridiculous amount of harm. It's like having the ability to build a nuke in your back garden. But the social equivalent of a nuke. When you put together a team of people that have the same misaligned goals, I suppose, you can get a lot more work done, and it's much more dangerous. You know, if you've got national security agencies or Russian targeting groups, you can sway elections, right? And we've seen interference in elections at a big scale. And that's only going to get exponentially worse. It's a problem that is growing exponentially. Like I said, the figure, 500 million views on TikTok for one hashtag alone. Like, I'm sure there's deep fakes hashtag has an equal amount. And so the ability to propagate misinformation that is instantly believable is the social equivalent of a nuke and can be done by anyone now. And that's terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. And you mentioned last time as well how it's on us as a society to do better in informing ourselves. So regarding disinformation, what are some recommendations you have there for folks so they can determine what's real and what's not? Because that line is getting very blurred.
Yeah, I think my answer would be quite similar to what parents can do, because teaching whatever you're teaching kids to be responsible online, they're going to grow up, and if they're equipped with ways to combat it, then you should also equip the people who are, you know, currently adults and equip them to deal with these problems in the same way, right? Being aware what you post publicly is public, and what you post privately is accountable for. Being informed and informing others of the risks, of the dangers, the good and the bad of not only deepfakes, but other emerging threats as well, be it technology or politically.
Great. And again, apart from the threats we've discussed, what else excites you about deepfake technology and or AI in general? I know that that's, you know, you're going down that path now. You know that's where you want to be. So anything you'd like to share?
Yeah. So AI in general. That's a really big question. It's endless, in fact. There's billions of answers I could give you because the space is so big. I think it's one of the only industries that affects every other industry also, pretty much to the extent that oil has. AI is the new oil, is something I like to say. But in terms of solely deepfakes, I'm looking forward to the technology's use in content creation, like audio, music, video, movies, games, virtual reality, basically most of the entertainment industry that appeals to an 18-year-old like myself. So I think there's great promise in the years to come, and there's great risk that comes with that promise.
Yeah, absolutely. And what are some examples of how this technology can bring value to society? You mentioned entertainment, but is there anything else that this could really help us out with, is, you know, in addition to the potential threats that are out there?
Yeah, certainly. So the properly underlying technology and research into AI in general, or even the types of networks like GANs in general, can be used for like a ridiculous number of products or solutions, you know, that related to cancer cures and vaccines and like just it's like kind of like what can you use a car to do, right? You can go to the places that you wouldn't have been able to go, and that might be the laboratory that you're curing cancer in. And AI is sort of the same thing. It enables technologies that would not have existed otherwise, that will be involved in all of these miraculous discoveries.
Excellent. Well, Greg, as always, thank you so much for joining us today. And I'm looking forward to speaking again with you further sometime. This has been so wonderful.
That would be fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, our pleasure. I'm Hillary McClure, Multimedia Director at Cybercrime Magazine. Joining me today was Greg Tarr, a machine learning engineer and the winner of the 57th BT Young Scientist and Tech Exhibition. You can find Greg on LinkedIn and follow him on Twitter at Greg_Tarr. And you can follow all of our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.